The opening 2 years ago of the first Las Vegas-style casino in Massachusetts, MGM Springfield, boosted the local and state economy, provided job opportunities, and did not increase rates of problem gambling. These were the key findings of new research released this week. The reports are part of an ongoing comprehensive investigation on the impact of introducing casino gambling into a community. WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill spoke with Rachel Volberg, the lead researcher and a research professor at the UMass Amherst School of Public Health and Health Sciences.
The results of our work are pretty clear that a significant proportion of the people who were hired by MGM Springfield in the ramp up to the opening and then subsequently in the following year, very significant proportions of them were unemployed. About 10%, I believe, were unemployed at the time that they were hired by MGM, and a very significant proportion as well who were underemployed. That is, they were working part-time or they were working multiple jobs, but they wanted one full-time job.
The people that got jobs there, were they who were already working? Did they see better pay, better benefits? Why did they go to work at MGM?
The top three reasons that people gave for seeking employment at the casino were opportunity for career advancement, improved pay, and the opportunity to learn new skills, followed by improved benefits, the job was at a higher role than they had had in their previous job, and they needed supplementary income.
So what's the big takeaway from what from the research into who was employed at the MGM casino?
So I think the big takeaway is that the original Expanded Gaming Act was billed as a jobs and employment bill or legislation, and I think based on this work that we've done to date, that does seem to have been realized. But of course, here we are in a very different time of COVID, and some of the discussion that we had at the webinar today was about some work that the economics team is going to be has already actually started doing that will be completed in the spring, looking at the impact of COVID on the casino operations in Massachusetts.
What did the research find was the direct economic impact of the casino, and was there a spin-off effect?
There was quite a significant number of jobs that were created at MGM Springfield, but perhaps even more importantly, because it was even more jobs, were created by those people who were hired at MGM and by the spending that MGM did to their employees and to their vendors. All of that spending actually created a total statewide economic impact of 6,287 jobs and $357 million in personal income, that sort of, that money moved out into the larger economy as a result of the operations at MGM Springfield.
Where did most of the patrons come from? Were they from within Massachusetts or were they out of state?
Almost 60% of the patrons that we surveyed were from Massachusetts. The great majority of those were from the host and surrounding communities. So that's Springfield and all of the communities that are designated as surrounding communities by the Gaming Commission. From Massachusetts, but outside of the immediate area, there were 18% of the patrons who came from other parts of Massachusetts, mostly along the I-90 or the I-91 corridors. But very importantly, about 41% of the patrons that we surveyed were from outside of Massachusetts and were coming to MGM, specifically to gamble at the casino.
And one of the objectives of building casinos in Massachusetts was to keep Massachusetts gamblers from going to spend their money in other states. And it, did they succeed in doing that, at least in the case with MGM, with the MGM casino?
Yes, that was our conclusion, that they do seem to have been successful at bringing in new visitors to Massachusetts and to the Pioneer Valley, folks from out of state. But then there were also, you know, significant recapture, which was people who, if there were not a casino in Springfield, would have gone to a casino out of state to gamble.
Talk about the demographics of the MGM casino gambler. What did the research show you? Who's patronizing the casino?
So there were fairly equal numbers of men and women. The patrons that we interviewed were majority white, but there were significant numbers of Hispanics and African Americans and Asian patrons. The majority of the patrons, about 60%, were between the ages of 35 and 64. And there were, interestingly, more young patrons, that is age 21 to 34, than patrons age 65 and over. About two-thirds of the patrons had annual household incomes that were $50,000 or over, but that means that about, a third of the patrons had lower incomes, and a majority of the patrons were employed, 71% were employed, and almost one-fifth were retired. So that's the main demographic findings.
Is that typical of, from what we know, is that typical of casinos in general?
Yeah, it's hard to emphasize how unusual the kind of patron survey is that we were able to do, which is by an outside entity rather than by the operator themselves, and then keeping the information proprietary to use for marketing purposes. But this is very much in line with what we know about casino gamblers in general.
What was the impact of the MGM casino on problem gambling?
Well, that was probably the biggest surprise of the work that we've done over the last few years, was to realize that that there did not seem to have been an increase in problem gambling based on looking at two snapshots in time, one in 2015 when we did a survey in Springfield and surrounding communities, and then a follow-up nearly identical survey that was done in 2019. There was no significant change in the prevalence or the proportion of the population that we would classify as at risk or problem gamblers. It was a surprise because one of the main negative social impacts of expanded gambling availability does tend to be an increase in problem gambling. But we had a very similar result in the Plainville region when we did the targeted surveys in Plainville and surrounding communities. We identified that there was no significant increase or change in the prevalence of at-risk problem gambling in that area either. And our working hypothesis at this point is that the Massachusetts population as a whole appears to be fairly well acquainted with casino gambling, probably because states like Connecticut and New York and Rhode Island have all had casino gambling for several decades prior to casinos opening in Massachusetts. And so from an epidemiological perspective, if you'll pardon the term, or from a public health perspective, this looks like it's an already exposed population. So people have adapted. When you introduce a new form of or a new availability closer in, if you have an exposed population, you're not going to see the kind of increase that we might have anticipated if there were no casinos in any of these surrounding states.
Did the GameSense program, which encourages people to voluntarily budget how much they gamble, did that have any impact?
When we surveyed the patrons at MGM Springfield, about 17% told us that they had taken materials from the GameSense kiosk, and about 8% had spoken to a GameSense advisor. So the GameSense program, it's an important program that tries to help people gamble in a way that is less risky. So the GameSense advisors do deal quite regularly with people who are concerned about their gambling, but the program as a whole is intended to sort of take more of a positive approach. Some people call it, you know, positive play or, you know, responsible gambling. But it's framed not as preventing gambling problems as much as it is framed as helping people gamble with less risk. So, you know, if only 17% of the patrons are taking materials from the GameSense kiosk and only 8% are speaking to an advisor, it suggests that, you know, the program itself, while it certainly has value, it suggests that program in and of itself may be contributing, you know, only partly to why we didn't see any change in the prevalence of problem and at-risk gambling.
Obviously, quite a bit has changed. That's an understatement from when the casino opened. They had to shut down for several months this year. They've mm-hmm. reopened now with capacity limits, fewer games, much fewer people working there. I believe they're down around 700 employees presently. So what does this do to your research? Where do you take things from here, having to factor in what's happened with the pandemic?
Yeah, I think it's certainly a broad set of issues. I mean, we have been talking internally within the research team about what we need to do as far as adjusting our research plan. I think we've gotten to a point where we do want to do what we call a deep dive on the economic impacts of COVID on the casinos in Massachusetts, but also the people that were employed by the casinos, and, you know, sort of what the broader economic impacts have been of basically a virtual collapse in the hospitality and entertainment industry in Massachusetts for at least a period of time. But looking sort of further out over, you know, over the next few years, we do think it's very important to conduct another general population survey to try and understand the impact of COVID on people's gambling behavior and attitudes towards gambling. We suspect that there are probably far more significant changes than we identified in the smaller surveys that we've been doing that are targeted on particular areas in the state. But to understand the impact of COVID on gambling behavior, we really need to take a statewide look.